to see you this morning. We're glad that you're here. We welcome our visitors, and we appreciate that we have another opportunity to worship together, to continue our worship as we've sung together. Appreciate those songs that Dan led us, and our prayers, and remembering the Lord's death and the supper. Thanking God for His good blessings and giving as He has prospered us. Now to give attention to His Word, I invite you to open your Bible and join us in a moment. We will be making some comments from God's Word about eternal life. Before we do that, we want to encourage you that if you're not a Christian, to consider that without Jesus, you do not yet have eternal life. You have not yet partaken of the bread of life. It's available to you. Jesus wants you to nourish yourself with Himself, to take advantage of His body and His blood, His death that He gave for the life of the world, that He gave for you and for me. If you'll become a Christian, you'll take advantage of, receive the benefits of His death. If you'll repent of your sins, if you'll confess your faith that He is the Son of God and be baptized into His death, He will cleanse you of your sins. His sacrifice, the benefit of it, will be applied to you, and you'll be raised to walk in newness of life and to live with God now and live with Him throughout eternity as you remain faithful and true to Him. We invite you to become a Christian. We urge you to become one, to use the opportunity you have today to be right with God. As God's people, it's important that we continue to nourish ourselves with the food that is from heaven. While we have partaken of the bread of life and received the benefit of His death to be saved from our past sins, it's important that we continue to feed upon the good Word of God and the good blessings of Jesus. If instead we have nourished ourselves with the world, with its enticements and its allurements, with its dainties and its trinkets, then let us come back to our Father. Let us come back to our God. Let us repent of those sins and renew the commitment of faith to serve Him daily, to be faithful and true to Him all the days of our lives. So if there's sin in your life, we urge you to pray a confession to God, and He will hear and He will forgive as you repent, and we want to pray with you if that's the need, or if you need to correct something publicly. We use this opportunity at the end of our lesson to do that, that we might be right with God and rejoice with heaven that a soul is saved. Jesus came into the world to give life to sinners. John 1 and verse 4 says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Again in John 4, 13 and 14, while speaking to the woman at the well, He spoke of a water that would spring up, be a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The water that He would give would spring into and be a water of everlasting proportion. In John 10 and 10, Jesus said that He came that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. The life that Jesus came to give is an abundant life. Not getting through by the skin of your teeth, but to give us abundance in all that is good and what is life before God. Jesus said again, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by Me." So life, the life of which He speaks, is a life that is obtained by going to the Father. And He is the way to the Father. He is the way and the truth and the life. Getting to the Father is through Him. So the life that God gives and the life that is in the presence of the Father is only obtained through Jesus. No one else. John 17 verses 1 through 4, in His prayer to the Father, Jesus speaks about the authority that He had been given to grant eternal life. He spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You. As You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you've given me to do. The Father gave the Son the work of bringing eternal life to the world. And Jesus now can say, I have accomplished, I finished that work. So devoted and dedicated to Him, He was to go to the cross as was about to occur. That work was finished as He had the power and has the power to give eternal life to mankind. In 1 John 2, verses 24 and 25, we read about this life. There, the Apostle John said, beginning in verse 24, let that abide in you which you heard, which is from the beginning. If what you've heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. So while there is the call to let truth abide in you, you heard it from the beginning, now let it reside in your heart, let it direct your life. This is the promise attached to that truth. He made to us a promise, eternal life. God has promised us eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, this passage, let's look at it together. It says, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. So He says, first of all, understand that life is a gift. The life we're talking about here is something given to us by God. We didn't merit it. We didn't earn it. We didn't develop it. We didn't invent it. God has given it to us. Furthermore, He says this life that God gives us, it's in His Son. It's not in Muhammad. It's not in Allah. It's not in Buddha. It's not in the philosophies of men, the wisdom of men, or the heart of man. It's in the Son. And he that has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. You see, the life is in the Son, and if you don't have the Son, then you don't have eternal life. And if you're not a Christian, you don't yet have the Son. You're in death, not life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So there is assurance given to believers, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. It is the one who continues to believe. He's given an assurance of having eternal life. And the life is in the Son. That's our assurance. We know that we have eternal life, and we are encouraged to continue in faith because that life is in the Son. And we live in it. Now, the question sometimes arises, when do we have eternal life? Do we have it now? Is it something only in the future? Is it both? Can it be lost? How do we secure it? These are some important questions about eternal life, and we believe the Bible gives us answers to this matter. Do we have eternal life now? Well, if we have it now, what about the future? And if we don't have it now, then what would persuade us to think we don't have it now? Should we doubt whether we have it? Can we lose it? And if we can lose it, does that mean we can't really be sure that we have it? What's God's Word say about these sorts of things? And if we lose it, can we recover it, by the way? What does God's Word say about these things? Let's talk and study for a little bit about this truth. Eternal life is a present reality for the Christian. That's what that verse said. We just read it together. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. He's given it to us. Now, I don't know how to read that except that this is something accomplished. God has given us eternal life. We have it now. He says this life is in His Son. And he who has the Son has life. Do you have the Son? Let's just answer that question. Do you have Jesus? If you have Jesus, you have life. So yes, it's a present reality for God's people. Again, he said in verse 13, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So, possessing eternal life is a reality, a present reality for us. Now, let's explore what that means. Let's go to our passage in John chapter 6. In John 6, 53 through 58. Let's look at that part of the passage. You see, it, possessing eternal life, Jesus here equates with abiding in Christ. If we abide in Christ, we have eternal life. Let's look at 53. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." So here's the point. He says, if you abide, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, I'm the bread of life. If you partake of me, you partake of my death. That's his point. You have life. If you don't, you have no life. But if you do, you have life. Now he says the same thing. If you partake of my death, you abide in me. So, partaking of Christ's death, its benefits as the bread of life, gives us life, enables us to abide in Christ. So, if I'm abiding in Christ, I have life. They're equated here. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, see, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Now you have life. Not merely that you will live in the future. You're not dead now. You're raised to walk what? In newness of life. A new kind of life. This bread that came down from heaven, this is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers who ate the manna and are dead. You see his contrast? The fathers ate literal manna and they're dead. You eat the bread of life, me, Jesus, you partake of my death, its benefits. He who eats this bread will live forever. There's a life that's begun that will continue forever. It's a real possession now, but it's not yet fully realized in the presence of God. And we'll see that in a moment. There's a part of, and that's how eternal life can be talked about, is in the future. It's not yet fully realized in God's actual presence, but it's a possession now. If you have life when you have the Son, John wrote. When you partake of the death of Jesus, you have life. You abide in Him. You have eternal life. Jesus said in that passage, back up to verse 46, or verse 47, "Most assuredly," that is truly, truly, or verily, verily, that is with certainty, "I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." You have it. Not that you will someday, but right now you don't have it. You have it. It's just not fully realized in God's presence yet. There's some things about this life you haven't experienced yet. Couldn't we say that about any life? There's some things in our life here on earth we haven't yet experienced. But we experience life. We have eternal life now. We abide with Jesus. But it's going to be more fully realized. We're going to be like Him when He returns. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. We're going to be before the throne of God. We're going to be with Him forever. So we'll talk about that in a moment. So you see, but first of all, we need to understand and not shy away from this truth. We have eternal life. God has given us life. That's 1 John 5, 11. God has given us life. I know, you know, sometimes there's a hesitation to say that because there are those who pervert it and come along and say, well, if you have it, you can't lose it. And if you lose it, you never had it. Well, that's error. That's false. We're not going to let their error define truth for us. God has given us life in the Son. It's eternal life. It's a life that we were raised out of the death of sin. And now we abide in the Son. Now we have fellowship with deity. And it's a fellowship as we continue to believe in the Son of God that takes us into eternity. That's God's plan, to bring many sons unto glory. We haven't gotten to the glory yet, but we're living in life now with Him. See, there's the condition of 1 John 5 and verse 12. He who has the Son has life. That's a condition. You've got to have the Son. The Bible says we're baptized into Christ. We put on Christ. We come into fellowship with Jesus. We've got to have the Son. Can't live a life not being a Christian and have eternal life. If you don't have it now, you're not going to have it eternally. You've got to have the Son. So you've got to become a Christian. That's where it begins. Now look, some of the conditions briefly stated of this life. We have to believe and obey the Son. John 3 and 36. If we're going to have eternal life, Jesus said, He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son, some of the versions say, he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. If you believe the Son, you're going to follow the Son. That's the condition. You have eternal life. You have everlasting life if you believe on the Son. But if you don't have faith, you don't obey Him, you're not going to see life. Wrath instead is what is abiding on you. Instead of abiding with the Son, abiding with Jesus, you're abiding with wrath. So if you want life, believe and follow the Son. Our choice. John 5 and 24. Look at the condition. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. You have life. You've come out of death. Now you're in life. But what do you have to do? Hear and believe. You have to open your heart to his word and believe it. And of course, when you believe it, you're going to follow it. Because if you don't follow it, you don't really believe it. So you repent. You confess faith. You're baptized. Then you walk in the truth. Follow the apostles' doctrine. You see, life is conditional. Life in the Son is conditional. Can't just say, oh, I love Jesus, and then live as we please. Love is conditional. If you love me, you keep my commandments, Jesus said. John 10, 27 and 28. Again, look at the conditional nature of eternal life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Eternal life is given. It's a gift. The Lord gives us, gives His sheep, because we hear His voice and follow Him. He doesn't give life to a sheep that won't hear Him, won't follow Him. You know why? Because that sheep's out on its own. The sheep that won't listen to the shepherd and won't follow the shepherd's voice is lost. It's in the wilderness. It's going to die alone, without safety, without security, without life. It's going to be dead. But hear and follow Jesus, and you have life. Jesus, we already read John 8, 6. See, that was His point. Feed upon me. That's the condition. You want life? Then feed upon the bread of life. You want eternal life? People want to go to heaven, but they don't want to partake of Jesus. Don't want to follow His word. They turned away. So it's a hard saying. Who can hear it? We don't want to. What are you talking about eating your flesh and drinking your blood? He's talking about listening to His word, following His word, and receiving its blessings. The blessing of His death on the cross, of redemption. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing, Jesus said. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. His words are eternal life. That enables us to come out of death, the death of sin, into life with Christ and to bear good fruit unto eternal life. Peter said, to whom shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus didn't say, oh, no, Peter, you're wrong. You're not going to have eternal life right now. Now, I don't have the words of eternal life now, but no, he said, I give life. His word is life. You have life now. We need to think about our lives in terms of eternity. We have life in the Son today. As we believe in Him and walk in Him, hear His voice and follow Him, and it extends, it brings us into eternity with Him. Not just that one day we'll get it. We have it now. As we meet His conditions, we abide in that life. We abide in that life. John 12:25-26, Jesus went on to say, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So we got to hate our life to have eternal life. We got to love Him more. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. So we got to put ourselves at the bottom of the ladder. At the bottom. He said, we've got to love Jesus, serve Him, follow Him. If we'll hate our life, that is, we'll give up our life, sacrifice ourselves, follow Him, serve Him. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. How will the Father honor him? How's this person? He's going to have eternal life. It begins now and it takes us into the very presence of God. So that's what I want to look at next for a minute. You see, eternal life is also our hope. It has not been fully realized. We have not yet entered into glory. And so Paul could talk about in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time eternal. There's an idea, an aspect in which our hope is yet our life is yet eternal that we haven't yet obtained. Heirs according to the hope of eternal life, because there we're talking now about a life that is the immortal realm. We've not yet entered into immortality with the life that Jesus has given us. And when we do, then we will enter into glory. Another aspect in the full realization of the life that we have in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:54. When this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. When we put on immortality, death is swallowed up. Death is removed forever. Now, in the glorious immortal state, we have life forevermore. Verse 15, if in this life only we have hoped for Christ, or hoped in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Our hope goes beyond this life. We have life now, but our expectation, our hope, our desire and expectation is a life forevermore in another realm, beyond this earth, into immortality. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 1, we know that if our earthly house, this tent is destroyed, this body is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. See, we don't yet have that habitation. We hope for it, we desire it, we anticipate it. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. We've been clothed with life now, but we haven't yet entered into its fullness, into the immortal realm with it. Because this body's going to die. We have eternal life, but the body's going to die. And so we're going to enter into a new life in the immortal realm. He said, "If we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." God has prepared us for this transition, for this change from mortal to immortality. He's prepared us for our body to die, to know what all that means, to know that death is not the end. It is the passage into immortality, into eternal life there in the presence of God. The gospel prepares us for that. If you don't believe and obey the gospel, you're not prepared for that. You won't enter into that life. The call of the gospel is to get prepared. Get ready. Receive life now and get ready to pass into glorious eternal life in the presence of God, where we'll live forever in His presence. And in inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. The end of our faith, Peter would describe it in 1 Peter 1 and verse 9, the salvation of our souls. In that sense, it is our hope. So again, in 2 Corinthians 2, Paul said, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen." We're talking about a life that we don't see. The things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. We're looking for the time when we are immortally arrayed, and the life is in the presence of God forevermore. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall we with Him be manifested in glory. Colossians 3 and verse 4. We will be revealed with Him gloriously, sharing His glory forevermore. You see, heaven is described as a place that possesses the book of life. Our name has to be there. If not, we won't have that life. It's described as a place where is found the tree of life, that bears abundant fruit that we partake of forevermore. That is, God is the source of our life forevermore. In heaven we will be in glory with Him. And we read about the water of life in Revelation 22. Partaking, nourishing us forevermore. God giving us the tree of life, the water of life, and recording our name in His book of life. So you see, the call of the gospel is get ready. And as Christians, to understand that while you have life now, in the age to come, if you'll follow me now, Jesus said, in the age to come, you'll have eternal life. Mark 10, 29 and 30. Remember, some of them said to Jesus, "Well, we've left all and followed you. What shall we have?" And Jesus said, "Well, there's no one who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters, mothers, children and lands with persecutions." You receive benefits of spiritual life now, and in the age to come, eternal life. So, yes, it's going to be fully obtained where the tree of life feeds you, the water of life nourishes you, the presence of God sustains you forevermore. Matthew 25, 46, that's why Jesus could say to those on the left, "Enter into eternal punishment," but those on the right, He said, "Into everlasting life." Enter into the life. Enter into the glory. Romans 2 and verse 10, in making the contrast, as God says through His apostle, that God will render to us all according to our deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. If you are seeking for glory, honor, and to be immortally arrayed, then you keep on doing good and God will give you eternal life. He'll bring you into that glory. He'll bring you into that honor. You don't have all that now. You're not in God's actual presence now, though you have fellowship with Him. But when you put off the mortal and God judges you according to your deeds, you're going to have eternal life. You see, so it's our hope. It's our anticipation. It's our desire and expectation because we meet the conditions that He's given us to obtain the gift of life. Otherwise, why wouldn't God save everybody without condition? And then we can blame God if things don't go right. You see how foolish that would be? Romans 6, 22 and 23. The result of our serving God is the gift of eternal life. Now, having been set free from sin, there's our life. He's given us eternal life because we've been set free from sin. And having become slaves of God, we serve God now. That's the condition He expects. And we have our fruit to holiness. And the end, the result, everlasting life. We have life, but the result will be everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have it now, and we're going to have it in its fullness in glory when Jesus returns. And it's the result of the fact that we put our faith in Jesus and we serve Him. Sow to the Spirit, and you shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Galatians 6 and verse 8. There's our hope. There's our expectation. If we'll sow to the Spirit, if we'll bear the fruit of the Spirit, if we'll follow the leading of the Spirit of God, which is the Word He's revealed to us, inspired for us to obtain, we'll have this glorious life forevermore. Paul told Timothy to lay hold on eternal life. Seize it. Grasp it. And do not let it go. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You've received it. Now He says, you lay hold on it. You fight the good fight of faith. Look at verse 19. To those who are wealthy in this world, He said, let them do good and be rich in good works. Verse 18, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. There's still an aspect in which we haven't laid hold on it. But we do have it. It is ours. We have received it as a gift from God in the Son as we abide in Him. We have life. And after the day of judgment, when resurrected resurrected into immortality, we will lay hold on it. We will receive its fullness in glory in heaven. Are you ready? God has prepared things so that we can do that, so that you can do that. And He wants you to obey His gospel and have that life now and have the hope of glorious eternal life. But it can be forfeited. And that's the final point we need to remind ourselves, is we can forfeit this life, this eternal life that we have in the Son. Hebrews 6, 4 and following, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift of redemption, of life in the Son, and have been partakers of the Holy Spirit, and tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, since they crucify again for themselves Son of God, and put Him to an open shame. Here's one who's been enlightened, one who's tasted life, but then fell away. Repudiated by word and deed, a lack of faith, a lack of trust, an unbelief, a disobedience, falling from the living God. That person will not see life. That person has turned away from the life. Sin separates us from life, from eternal life. It's in the Son. So we, as Christians, we must guard ourselves. Jude says in Jude verses 20 and 21, you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves or guarding yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Here's the goal. Here's the anticipated glory. So you need to keep yourself, guard yourself, build yourself up. Keep looking for, pushing forward, always being faithful. We've got to listen to the voice of Jesus like the sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You stop listening to Jesus, you stop following Jesus, you're going to be snatched out of God's hand. Not because God can't save you, but because you've rebelled against Him. You've taken your own path, and it's not the right path. It's a sinful path, and it leads to death eternally. We have to keep hearing and following the voice of Jesus. We've got to sow to the Spirit to reap eternal life. That is, we bear the fruit of the Spirit. We put God's Word into our hearts. We are led by it in our lives, and we bear its fruit in our words and our actions every day. And when we sin, we go to God in prayer. We ask Him to forgive us. We repent of that. We change our heart. We, again, walk in those things that are true and right. Hebrews 3:12-15. We need to be steadfast to the end. Don't develop an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God, but exhort one another day by day as long as it's called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You, brethren, Christians, don't be hardened. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence firm, steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. We must continue to remain faithful, or we forfeit eternal life. We can fall from the life God gives us when we reject the Son. If we reject the Son, we reject the life. And by the way, look what's said in Revelation 22:19. You know what all that amounts to? It's very interesting here. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. That's a declaration that a person can fall away. If we reject any part of God's book, God rejects us. So we make the decision. We're going to choose. God's ready to save us. But our part will be taken out of the book of life. And if any book, the name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, what happened? Cast into the lake of fire. Chapter 20 and verse 15. It's a just punishment for sin. For not loving Jesus, hearing Jesus, following Jesus, being steadfast and true and faithful to Jesus. Because He's the one that gives us life. Gives it to us now, brings us out of the death of sin, gives it to us forevermore in heaven when we are immortally arrayed, sharing in glory. This is eternal life. To know God and Jesus Christ, His Son. This is life eternal. That they may know You. We've got to know God. And how we know God? We know God by knowing Jesus, whom He sent. How do we know Jesus? We hear His voice and follow Him. We obey His Word. 1 John 2:3-6. By this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. There's the answer. You want to know Jesus? Obey Him. Keep His commandments. When you know Him, He gives you life. If you don't know Him, you don't have life. You're still dead in sin. If someone says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps His Word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this, we know that we're in Him. This is how we know we have life. In Jesus. He who says he abides in Him, and remember, abiding in Him is equated to having eternal life given to us. John 6. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. God's call is to give us life. The gospel calls us to life. The question now is, do you have eternal life as a present spiritual blessing? And can you expect it on into eternity? That depends upon you. Jesus has given His flesh and blood. He's given His life on the cross for you to partake of, to be redeemed from your sin, and then to follow Him in faith, to have assurance of eternal glory. Become a Christian today. Be forgiven. Be added to His church. Obtain eternal life and live with the anticipation of eternal glory. If you're a Christian and you're sinned, you let sin separate you from God. Come back to Him. Abide in the Son. Repent. Confess your sin. And have life renewed and hope strengthened in Christ. Won't you come while we stand and we sing?